from the National Catholic Register. This is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
This week on Register Radio, Jeanette DeMello and columnist Father Raymond D'Souza discuss at what cost the University of Notre Dame honors Vice President Joe Biden and former Speaker of the House of Representatives John Boehner with the Letare Medal. Also, Jeanette and writer Marge Fenelon show how Marian devotion ties in with Catholic family life. Welcome to Register Radio, a co-production of EWTN and the National Catholic Register. I'm the producer of the show, Elena Rodriguez. Our editor-in-chief of the National Catholic Register, Jeanette DeMello, will be leading the conversations. Thank you for joining us, Jeanette. Our first guest is Father Raymond J. D'Souza, the editor-in-chief of Convivium magazine. The Holy See has appointed him to serve as a Jubilee Year Missionary of Mercy. Father Raymond D'Souza considers at what cost the University of Notre Dame has extended the Letare Medal to Vice President Biden and House Speaker John Boehner. Jeanette DeMello talks to Father D'Souza.
Father Raymond, it's great to have you back on Register Radio. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Jeanette. Good to be with you again after some time.
It's true. You know, we've been talking the past couple of weeks at the Register about upcoming commencement speakers and things like that, the good, bad, and the ugly. And perhaps one of the commencement events and that has been getting a lot of attention is at Notre Dame. The University of Notre Dame has invited Vice President Joe Biden and former Speaker of the House John Boehner to receive an award, the prestigious Letare Award, and they're going to be honored. And this has caught the attention of many. Why don't you first set up for us, what is this Letare Award that they will be honored with?
Well, the Letare Award is an award that the University of Notre Dame gives to an American Catholic for outstanding service. It could be in any field, not just politics. It could be arts, literature. And it's been going since the 19th century. It's well over 100 years old.
Wow.
And Notre Dame calls it the most prestigious award for an American Catholic. Now, I'm not entirely sure who gets to decide that, but that's what Notre Dame calls it. But, I mean, there's not a lot of competition in the sense that there's not a sort of an annual award or national award. And this has sort of taken the place of that.
Sure.
So it's given every year, and it's been given to some quite distinguished people in the past. And this year, they've decided to give it to a joint award to the Vice President, Joe Biden, and the former Speaker of the House, John Boehner. And when making the announcement, Father Jenkins, the President of Notre Dame, said it's to honor them in this kind of strange political year for civility in politics, for being able to disagree but to get along and to be friends, as sort of a kind of not a recognition of a particular policy, but as he says, it's a recognition of the ability to cooperate and to disagree in civility. So that was the argument that Father Jenkins gave for this honoring. And he said he was inspired because when Pope Francis addressed the American Congress, of course, in the House of Representatives, the Vice President and the Speaker sit side by side right behind the Speaker. So there was that image, if you remember, when Pope Francis was there, Vice President Biden and John Boehner, and they're both Catholics, obviously. So,
right. But not everyone has really bought that reasoning. They haven't all agreed. In fact, there were protests or letters being written at the school from students who really strongly disagreed with this. You haven't heard as much in the broad Catholic community about this as you did years ago when President Obama was invited to speak. But still, what has the feedback been on this particular invitation?
Well, you're correct, Jeanette. The reaction has been more muted. I think that my reading of it, which is just my reading, is that Notre Dame, since the late 70s, early 80s, has really been very determined to give honors to sort of show that you could be a Democrat, a Catholic, and given that the Democratic Party, with some exceptions, but is largely pro-choice, that was okay. I mean, you go back to 1984, and when this was still a kind of a contested issue, it was Notre Dame who invited Mario Cuomo to come to Notre Dame and give the famous speech about how you could be personally opposed to something but publicly in favor. So my own reading, it's my reading, is that, you know, Vice President Biden has been a champion of that for, you know, 40 years, and he's the highest-ranking Democrat ever to the vice president. And I think Notre Dame wanted to honor him, but the fact that they're waiting till he's 6 months before he leaves, mm-hmm. I think the reaction in 2009 to what happened with Obama was so shocking to Notre Dame. That year they tried to give the Leitari Medal to Professor Marianne Glendon. It was a very transparent manipulation because Father Jenkins knew he would get opposition on Obama. He thought he could sort of use Glendon to cover it up, and she declined the award.
That's right.
So I think they were just waiting to see when could they, you know, find a time to honor Vice President Biden. He's a liberal Democrat. He's pro-choice. And Notre Dame, if you're a prominent liberal pro-choice Democrat Catholic in the United States, Notre Dame will honor you. That's it's not a proud record. There are a lot of good things about Notre Dame, but on this issue, they're quite consistent. And I think they ran out of time because it was getting harder and harder to honor Biden because the administration, with its HHS healthcare mandates, was actually becoming more antagonistic to the church, you know, and Notre Dame itself sued the government.
Right.
So with all that going on, I think they said, well, we have to get Biden in here some way. We can't sort of do it on his own merits, so let's hitch him to John Boehner, call it a bipartisan sort of venture, and do it in the name of civility. And that's my reading, which makes it all the more hilarious, actually, because about 2 weeks ago, John Boehner gave an interview where he compared Ted Cruz to Lucifer.
Right.
So
where's the civility in that?
So when you're talking about not demonizing your opponents, you can't get much more demonizing than calling someone Lucifer. But anyway, that's the irony of it all. So that's my reading on it. Others, I think, might take a more harsh view, and others have sort of decided to say, well, Notre Dame's being Notre Dame, and they're not as excited about it as they were some years
ago. And we'll get back to some of those reactions. This is Jeanette DiMello on Register Radio. I'm speaking to Father Raymond D'Souza, and we're talking about a column he wrote in the Register. That column's called Notre Dame to Honor Joe Biden and John Boehner, At What Cost? And this is about those two being awarded the Leitari Medal, being honored at Notre Dame. And really, Father D'Souza, there's some reason why we would be concerned over this. Not only is it the record of these two people that we may question, is it really in line with Catholic teaching, but the bishops have charged Catholic universities not to give places of honor to those who have run contrary to Catholic teaching, have they not? I mean, that's part of what's at play here.
That is an issue, and some people have pointed out that in 2004, the American bishops made a statement about Catholics in public life at odds with settled church teaching on issues of great importance. Pro-life would be one of them. And they said that Catholic universities, at a minimum, shouldn't give them honors. And so this is clearly in violation of that, 100% in violation of that, but it's also a sign that that policy is now 100% dead. Not officially. Mm-hmm. It's still the American bishops' policy, but it's just not going to be observed. And that's partly, it has to be acknowledged, the result of not exactly the same, but kind of analogous things going on in Rome, where some very prominent people have been invited to speak at the Vatican in recent years. Now it's the Academy of Social Sciences. It's not an honor. But these things are kind of fine distinctions in the wide sort of public perception. And I think when you have people like the governor of California, who was invited last summer to speak at a climate conference, and then he comes back home and advances assisted suicide and so forth. I think that the public perception is such that policy of 2004, while not rescinded, certainly in principle, I think you can say it's kind of dead in practice, I think.
Sure. And have any bishops responded to this particular instance this year with Notre Dame?
Well, the local bishop, who's obviously the most important one, he's right there. Bishop Rhodes has made very clear his disagreement with this honor, but it hasn't been widespread. And you have to be aware that when the commencement of Notre Dame, it has the Leitari Medal, then it has an honorary doctorate given to somebody or to several people, then there's the speaker. And amongst the honorary doctorates this year, about six of them, is Cardinal Wuerl. Mm-hmm. And so I think in that sense, that's Notre Dame's way of sort of, they gave an award to pro-life John Boehner, pro-choice Joe Biden, honorary doctorate to a very fine cardinal, Cardinal Wuerl. And so there's kind of something for everybody in their approach, which is not what the bishops recommended, but that's how they've done it. But Bishop Rhodes, who is the local bishop there of, I think, Fort Wayne, South Bend, the diocese's official name is, has spoken. He's opposed it. He said he doesn't agree with it.
Yes, you know, we got a reader who, you know, saw our coverage of this with Joe Biden and John Boehner receiving the Leitari Medal, and she felt compelled to point out that they're not the commencement speaker. There's another speaker. It's General Martin Dempsey, who
Correct.
Is the a retired U.S. Army general. But also she was, this reader was pointing out that recently that Notre Dame honored the Little Sisters of the Poor, and so it's, you know, it's not like it's all bad. And I don't think that's the point we're making here. I mean, it's not, it isn't that we... honor everyone. It's just, it is, it's how the people we honor at universities really does, whether or not they do reflect Catholic teaching. And I think that's what that question, it isn't that Notre Dame by any means is doing everything wrong. I think that's
important. There's a lot of fine things, but on this particular issue, I mean, it's true, the Little Sisters of the Poor were honored by actually a different center at Notre Dame, not the university as a whole, as it were. But this goes back on the question of being Catholic and pro-choice. Notre Dame has consistently backed that line that it's okay, it's advanced it, it's put its institutional prestige behind it, not in 2016, going all the way back to the early 80s. And of the many good things that Notre Dame does, this is one of the, this is not one of them. In fact, it's a very sad record. It goes back all the way to the early 80s, to Mario Cuomo, to Daniel Patrick Moynihan. President Obama was one of them. Of course, he's not Catholic. And now we have Joe Biden. And my own view is that they were not about to let Joe Biden, the vice president, the most, you know, the senior Catholic in the American government, a liberal Democrat, a pro-choice Democrat, let them fight on same-sex marriage. And Notre Dame for many years has wanted to say that you can do that in public and still be a good Catholic in your personal beliefs. And they weren't about to let their, you know, their best example, or if you have an alternative view, worst example, go without being honored. That's my view. But they couldn't really get away with it in the way they used to, so they had to hitch John Boehner to it. And,
a little more subtly.
Yeah.
Well, Father D'Souza, we're so grateful for what you have written. We encourage our readers and listeners to go to ncregister.com and look at Notre Dame to honor Joe Biden and John Boehner at what cost. Thanks for being with us, Father D'Souza.
Great. Thank you, Jeanette. God bless you.
And thank you, Register writer Father Raymond D'Souza. And thanks to Jeanette DeMello as well. When we return, why do we do the May crowning of Mary and other Marian devotions? You'll hear examples of what benefits it could have for your kids. Register Radio continues in a moment here on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Stay tuned.
In today's world, we have all kinds of misinformation and even disinformation about Christianity, Catholicism, and religion in general. And we need a source that is going to give us direct quotations and authentic news about what is going on in the church, so we know what the Pope really said and not what the media said he said. We need to know what the Synod is doing, what the encyclicals mean, in order to be able to give the facts of our faith. For that reason, we need the National Catholic Register, which will give us the good news along with the hard news of our world today. And in that way, we can have what we need to go out to our world and give them the good news of Jesus Christ.
For a free 6-issue trial of the National Catholic Register, go to EWTN.com and click on the banner for the Register, or call 800-421-3230 for your 6 free issues.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
Welcome back. Along with Jeanette DeMello, I'm Elena Rodriguez. Our next guest is award-winning journalist Marge Fenelon. A longtime correspondent for the National Catholic Register, she has authored several books on Marian devotion and Catholic family life. Marge and her husband, Mark, are educators in the Apostolic Movement of Schoenstatt, and they have 4 grown children. Marge sits down to share with us how Marian devotion ties in with Catholic family life. Jeanette?
Marge, it's great to have you back on Register Radio. It's been a while.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here.
Well, we've got something fun to talk about, and we're already close, like almost to the middle of May here. But I wanted to talk about May being Mary's month, and you wrote a wonderful blog that did very well on ncregister.com about May being Mary's month. And let's just start with the very beginning. Why? Why is May, why do we celebrate Mary in the month of May?
Well, you know, it's fascinating to me. Of course, Mary always fascinates me. It does almost every aspect of her being. But what I think is particularly interesting was to me when I started researching, I had the same question. Why do we do this? I've been doing this since I was a little kid.
Sure, May crownings,
It was so normal. But then someone did ask me that, and I went, I'll get back to you. and I did research it. And I discovered that this idea of honoring Mary in May goes way, way back to the time of the Greeks and the ancient Romans. Not so much Mary, of course, because she did not yet exist, only in God's mind, but that both those cultures in May gave that entire month to, for the Greeks, it was the goddess Artemis, who is the goddess of fecundity. And the Romans gave that entire month, during that entire month of May, honored Flora, who is the goddess of all that blooms. So there was already this instinct to honor the woman that's very important, the female figure in that case, they were goddesses.
And because it's everything's blooming and it's this time of year, it makes you think of those things. So that does make sense. But how did the church enter into it?
Yeah, and then, you know, then we come along with the Blessed Mother and the early church, and moving toward medieval times, there was still that sense of giving, you know, that spring time and that, like as you said, you know, everything's blooming, and so it was just a very natural thing to give May to Mary, to honor her, especially in the medieval times, that really became quite popular, and it had various ways, various traditions for honoring Mary. There also was, for a period of time, it wasn't necessarily May, but they had Lady Month, which was dedicated to Mary, and that was from August 15th to September 14th. Still that same idea, giving a month to this wonderful woman, and then it over time, you know, we wouldn't even have enough time for me to go through step by step how this all developed, but over time, then it kind of migrated back to Mary, and then May became Mary's month.
And in the church, you see various ways that we honor Mary this month. Obviously, there are May crownings. I've been to them at my parish where we take a statue of Mary and we process and crown her with usually flowers or sometimes with actually a crown, a beautiful ornate crown. And this is a very common celebration. But what are some other ways that we can honor Mary during this month?
Well, if we can, when we can, to attend those parish events, because this is why we belong to the Catholic Church. There's really something to be said about doing these things in community, as a group. But I'm a firm believer and a great advocate of not leaving the church in the church. In other words, to be an everyday Catholic, not a Sunday Catholic. So all of those things, all of those beautiful traditions that we observe in the Catholic Church, bring home the graces and the way it deepens our faith and our attachment to the universal church is astounding. And I know that from experience of my own and experience of other people. So what are some ways we can do that? Well, you know, often you'll see in church or in the various chapels or shrines, they'll have a special May altar. We can do that. We can do that in our home. It doesn't have to be very fancy. But the Blessed Mother will love no matter what we do, but set aside a corner to give her special honor, maybe a statue if you've got one, a picture, you know, something that reminds you she's your mother and this is her month. And we can crown her. We can give her a crown of flowers. It could even be the fake flowers from the thrift store. I mean, and I'm really talking very simple here. Or it could be maybe we have an actual crown we happen to have for our prayer corner in our home. We have a wooden crown made for the Blessed Mother that a woodworking friend of ours made for us. So, I mean, those are just, you know, a couple of examples.
Sure.
But you can crown her. And it doesn't have to be a big ceremony like your parish. It can be something so simple that you just walk up to her and give her the crown, even if it's not a material crown, but just the crown of your heart, and say, Blessed Mother, I want to crown you. You are queen of my heart. You are queen of the church. And during this month of May, I want to honor you as such.
This is Jeanette DeMello on Register Radio. I'm speaking to Marge Fenlon, who blogs at the Register. She wrote a wonderful blog, Why is May the Month of Mary? And we've had several bloggers this month who have been writing on Mary. Mark Shea wrote Where the Church Gets Its Marian Teaching, and Kevin DiCamillo wrote Teaching Children to Pray the Rosary in Small Steps. And, you know, both Marge, what you were saying about crowning Mary in your homes, or finding some way to place Mary in a more central place in our lives, especially during this month, I decided with my two-year-old to just say at least a decade of the rosary as I'm putting him to sleep. And so I've been saying that. And, after the first night, it was interesting that next morning I heard my son, he's two, he talks quite well for a two-year-old, and I heard him talking in his bed before he called me to come pick him up. This was, you know, the next morning, and he's talking in his bed, and then he calls me, and I walk in, and I've said, what were you talking about? And he says, Mary. I was saying Hail Marys. So he was 2 years old and had already picked up many of the words of the Hail Mary that we had been reciting. And it was just beautiful. And every night now, this month, he has been asking me to say more Hail Marys. So it's been beautiful. Actually, also, he says, and Shelby's. So it's an ever shall be world without end. The glory be. So
sure.
he's just really getting into this month of Mary and learning the Hail Mary at two. And it humbles me, you know, just how quickly he can learn, but also how much what I say and how we pray together as a family sticks with this little man. And so I absolutely agree that we can do this in very small ways, even with the smallest of children. Your children are growing. How do you keep Mary in the lives of teenagers and those who are growing up, Marge?
Well, we have kept all through these years, and really I've only got one at home left,
but
we still do. I make sure that all of these traditions, all of the things, the prayer corner, I even put a blue cloth on, et cetera, the crowning, all of these things, I keep these traditions regardless of whether there are any kids around. And it's interesting that one time my daughter came over, and I believe, now I'm trying to remember which holiday it was, I believe it was during Christmas, and I missed something I had normally done. She immediately spotted that when she entered the house, and she was really perturbed. Like, why did you not do that? And
wow.
it bothered her, even though she no longer lives at home. That's how impactful these traditions. So in May, I think what you do with your son is so beautiful, and keep up. And in one word to parents who I'm sure there are parents who are listening, they'll go, well, my kids are too old for that. I should have started it when they were young. And you know what? That's not true. Even if your children are up and out of the house, do it. Do it for them and let them ask you about it. And don't be embarrassed. Say, you know what? I realize I should have been doing this for years and years. I should have done this with you when you were a little kid. But it's not too late. I want to start now. And this is why I'm doing it, because I so believe in this. And be very open about that, because we're all human.
That's right. And kids actually see what we do, too. So it's important that, we have these Marian devotions, not just to teach them, but that it's just a part of our lives. And I had kind of forgotten that. And I was lamenting to my mom that I didn't have much time to pray anymore. And she said, you know, when you were a teenager, and I had younger siblings, and she was still nursing those younger siblings, she said, you used to tell me, Mom, you know, you can always pray the rosary while you nurse. And my mom reminded reminded me that I had said that to her as a teenager, and that I needed to do that with my young, my little boy, when, you know, when I just didn't have that time to pray. And so it all comes around, really. These, what we do and how we pray, our kids pick up on, even if we're not explicitly teaching them. And, it's beautiful.
Yes, it is.
So, you know, Marge, you also wrote something just recently, and we've got a short amount of time left, but I just wanted you to be able to tell people what you wrote about adoration. Just tease it for us, and that way we can direct people to your post.
Well, the teaser is I'm asking folks, what do you do during adoration? Do you ever struggle with what to do, what to say, what to think? And I talk about in the post my own struggles, which is kind of surprising even to me, because I'm also a public speaker. I write about this stuff all the time, but I struggle, not because I don't want to be there, but because I'm not quite sure how to interact with our Lord. It's kind of like when you meet a celebrity and you're totally speechless, or you keep tripping over your own words. It's kind of like that for me. It's almost too much for me to be in his real presence. And so I wrote about that, and I wrote about the solution that I found to that.
Well, we invite everyone to go and look at your blog at ncregister.com. Marge, thanks so much for being with us.
You are very welcome. Anytime.
And thank you both, Register correspondent Marge Fenelon and Jeanette DeMello. You can read more about Notre Dame's Lay Tara Medal and about Marian devotion in Catholic family life by going to ncregister.com. Hey, and do you know of anyone who might want to hear Register Radio? Point them to ncregister.com and click on the radio tab to listen or even to download the show. All Register Radio shows are archived there. On behalf of Jeanette DeMello, Father Raymond D'Souza, Marge Fenelon, and all of us here at the Register and at EWTN Radio, thank you for joining us. This is Elena Rodriguez, and we will be here again next week for more of Register Radio.
For more information about the National Catholic Register and about Register Radio, go to ncregister.com. Podcasts of Register Radio are posted on ncregister.com and on ewtn.com. Join us next week at this time for Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.